text today, you know, I thought a lot about in the day and age in which we live, there's so much to discourage and to make us worry. And I thought we need to think on these things. You know, there's so much going on in our government and with this virus and all these things to discourage and to make us maybe despair even. But we need not worry. You know, our text for today, I want to read that. It's in Matthew 6, and it starts really in verse 25. And it says here, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat and what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." You know, in this passage, you know, worry is a major issue today. You know, not only among unbelievers, but among Christians as well. And it ought not be so. You know, generally we worry about things that really never happen. You know, someone once said, "Today is a tomorrow you worried about yesterday." You know, there is much fear today about the virus, the coronavirus. It has changed a lot about how we do everything, how we live our daily lives. You know, there's a lot of fear and worry about our government. You know, we've seen so much change just in the short few months. There's a lot of just angst about that and anxiety. You know, financial security is a major topic of concern today. You know, people today are very concerned about their economic condition and even the economic condition of the whole world. You know, some even have built great storehouses and they built supplies of food. You know, others have moved to areas where they think they will avoid economic disaster. People get all stressed about the stock market, worrying about whether their investments will fall. Even some have committed suicide because of it. You know, others are fearful about losing their jobs and losing their retirement. Possibly the Social Security system will collapse. You know, then there are always those who proclaim doomsday is coming. You know, negative prophets for just about everything. You know, when you listen to the news today, you know, everything's a crisis, isn't it? You know, some of these fears are reasonable, because we do want to live relatively comfortable and relatively secure with that measure of security. You know, so how do we handle all the negative news today? You know, what are we to do? How are we to understand all this as Christians? And how should we live in this world today? You know, we can find answers in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, which is, you know, here we find the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus addressed some essential important issues here. You know, one of the issues is worry, including financial worry and financial anxiety. You know, worry is a result of, well, when you think about it, it's really a result of ignorance, biblical ignorance, or maybe it could be of unbelief, or it can be just distrusting our God. You know, if you do not know God or you do not believe or trust him, the result can be worry. You know, you can worry yourself through life, really, because you're ignorant of God and you're ignorant of God's word. You know, this can be a result of weak teaching of the character of God. You know, where there is weak teaching on the character of God, there can be a lot of worry and anxiety. You know, we need to know and trust God. As a believer, you should not worry because you have a caring heavenly Father that's sovereign in all things. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, we find the answer to worrying about our lives in several areas. You know, Jesus starts talking about money in verses 19 through 21. Then in verses 25 through 34 that we read, he talks about worry. And this is kind of where we want to focus on today. You know, three times in this passage, he says, do not worry. In verse 25, he said, do not be worried. Then in verse 20 or 31, he said, do not worry. And finally, in verse 34, he says, so do not worry. There's a message here somewhere. You know, the key to this whole passage is do not worry or do not be anxious. You know, the word worry in the Greek, it's a Greek word that means to be anxious about or to care about or even to take thought of. We're not to take thought of some of these things, is the idea. The command or mandate comes to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us instruction on how to live in this physical world, but the problem is, do we really believe him? When we read these things, do we really believe what he's saying? You know, in verse 25, he says, do not be worried about your life. Literally in the Greek, it would say, do not be worried for your psuche, which means your breath. Do not worry about your breath. Do not worry about your life. He's talking about your physical life here. You know, don't be anxious about your physical life. And the point is, don't worry about that. You know, the idea here for worry is, it means to worry excessively. It is to have excessive worries or anxieties for this life. In the proper language, here it's saying, stop worrying. And if you're a worrier, stop. You know, in verse 31, it emphasizes don't start worrying. If you don't already have that bad habit, don't start it. And so here we see we're dealing with the issue of worry in our lives. What Jesus wants us to know is that if you're a believer, you don't need to worry. Well, we say, you know, we need to eat and we need to drink and we don't want to run around naked. That's true. Aren't these important concerns? And they are. They're the necessities of life, food, drink, and cover, or clothing. You know, wanting the necessities of life are normal. But as a believer, we're not to worry about those things. We're not to worry about this. You know, Matthew 6:25, here it says, as we read, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat, what you will drink, for your body, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. You know, he starts out here, do not worry about you will eat or drink or for your body and what you'll put on. Is not life more than these? You know, is life not more than clothing and food and drink? Isn't life for a believer beyond all these things? You know, we're not to be anxious or to worry. And Jesus gives us some reasons why we should not worry in this passage. He says it's unnecessary because of who your heavenly Father is. You know, you don't need to worry because of who God is. Also, because of your faith. You're not to worry because of your faith. You know, God is our provider. And also, we're not to worry. It's unwise because of a Christian's eternal future. We have an eternal future to be with the Lord. And so because of these things, it's really foolish to worry. You know, let's look at the first one. To worry about material things, it's unnecessary because of your heavenly Father, because of who God is. You know, to illustrate this, to affirm this point, Jesus uses three illustrations, one of food and one of basically of health and then one of clothing. You know, food, verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? You know, birds, they don't sow, and they don't reap. They just fly around and eat the food that you provide for them. They don't gather into barns. It says, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not worth much more? Are you not worth much more than they? And so, you know, they don't worry. You know, birds don't fly around with a sack of food in case they run out. You know, they're not worried about some unforeseeable event in the future. You know, if God takes care of them. And so how much more should we understand this, that our God can take care of us? You know, Psalm 145:15, it says, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You know, see, all creation is provided for by God, and without worry or anxiety. You know, it is to be noted at this point that, you know, there's no excuse for idleness. And we need to balance some of this out. You know, birds don't just sit around and wait for food to come to them. You know, they search for it and they find it. God provides it. God takes care of them. He provides for them, but they go out every day and they search for it. You know, Proverbs 19:15 says, laziness cast into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. You know, and in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. There's some responsibility for us. We're not just to sit around and wait. We're to be about the business of what we do to provide. But we're not to worry about it. The point is, if birds are provided for and they're cared for by God, then you, who are worth much more than this, will not God take care of you? And so if God feeds the birds, you can be sure he will feed you. But we are not to be idle in that endeavor. You know, the point is, if he brought you into this kingdom for greater good, for his greater good, you can be confident that he will provide the lesser things to sustain you. And so if he provides you with spiritual needs and he wants you to live for his glory, he will provide the necessary provisions, you see? If God put you here for his purposes and his glory, he's going to provide you with what you need to fulfill that. If God gave you physical life and spiritual life to glorify him, he will sustain that, you see? That's what he's saying here. He will sustain you and meet your, you know, to meet his purposes. And so the second issue we see in verse 27 then, And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? You know, the second issue is worrying about your health. You know, and I understand that there's some concerns there. You know, some translators say lifespan in this text. It's better to see this as a span of life, helica in the Greek. It means age or years or stature. You know, Jesus says, worry won't add a second to your life, is the idea. People really worry about health today. You know, people are fanatical about exercise and proper eating and all this stuff. It's fanatical. It's a frenzy. You know, we're consumed with health. We've made a god out of health and longevity. When you watch the evening news, there's more about health and medical pills and all this stuff than there is news. There's worry about this and worry about that. It's a health frenzy. You know, there's a great preoccupation about the body. People make huge investments in exercise equipment and get into arduous exercise regimens and join health clubs and whatever, thinking that they can live forever if we do all this stuff. And, you know, you need this vitamin, you need this supplement, and you need this special diet, and it goes on and on and on. But, you know, I need to say at this point that there are things that we do that are beneficial to our life, or to our living our life, and that's certainly true. But this is to get things out of perspective. Our priorities are wrong. You know, Jesus says you can't add 1 minute to your lifespan by worrying about it. In fact, worry will probably shorten it. The fact is, many medical problems are attributed to worry. And some worry themselves really into bad health. And so you'll never worry yourself into longer life, is the idea. You know, if God has called you and saved you in this life, why do you think he will not care for you in this life to bring you to maturity and for his purposes in this life? You see? Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, he's got a purpose, and we don't need to worry about that. You know, God knows what he wants to accomplish in your life. In his sovereignty, he will care for you in this life, even for the next. And so we should not be so busy fulfilling, you know, every little thing that comes along that we think we're going to get longevity out of. We should be busy fulfilling his purposes with our lives. Our lives are his sovereign control. They're in his sovereign control. And we should trust him and his purposes for our life. That's the key to this whole thing. What are we seeking? Why are we here? It's for his purposes, you see? And God will not take you or leave you on this earth one second beyond his plan for your life, is the idea. If you're serving him, he's got a purpose for you here, and he's going to sustain that until he's through. Thirdly, then, Jesus brings us to the issue of clothing in verses 28 through 31. You know, if God is going to take care of the grass and the fields and the flowers, and he can certainly take care of you, is the idea. You know, why should we get so anxious about? What are we so fearful of? You know, in verse 28, he says, and why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, that they do not toil, nor do they spin. You know, again, people today become really over preoccupied with dress. Driven by pride and external worldly thinking, people become really obsessed with the external clothing. They're more focused on the external beauty than really the internal beauty of being a godly person. And so, you know, God again is talking here about worry and about not being cared for. You know, fearing about not having what you need, fearing about what, you know, what you don't have. And not going to be protected. And so it goes on, verse 29, he says, yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. You know, look at the lilies, look at the flowers in the field. They don't toil or spin, yet Solomon in his glory did not clothe any of himself like these. You know, this is probably referring to wildflowers at the time and intricate beauty that they have, you know, that man-made silk flowers and plastic flowers can never duplicate. You know, if God will care for the flowers of the field like this, he's saying, how much more will he clothe you, you see? You know, and then it goes on in verse 30, he said, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You see, all the flowers and the grass, they're so temporary. Their beauty is just temporary. And tomorrow they're thrown into the furnace. Will God not much more clothe you than these? You see? You and then he goes on and says, you of little faith. The flowers and grasses, you know, they're beautiful today, but they're gathered and burned in the furnace tomorrow. You know, what's interesting, they live so briefly, and in those days they used dried grass and dried flowers to heat their clay ovens. That's how they controlled the heat. You know, they would regulate their heat with dry grasses. And so if God gave such beauty that lasts only a day, in some cases less, will he not care for you? Will he be forgetful of his own people, of his own children? And of course, the answer is no. You know, let people who are focused on worldly ambitions, let them worry about that stuff. You know, you do not need to do so. If the Creator God cares for his creation, the point is if he cares for all his creation, will he not the more care for you? That's the point that he's saying here. You know, notice that he says, you of little faith. You know, when you worry about these things, you're demonstrating what? See, a lack of faith in our Creator. You know, Matthew 8, 28 and 27, a little beyond this, Matthew 8, 23, this is that, you know, when he stilled the sea. Here it says, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. He said to them, why are you afraid, you ones of little faith? Even then he got up, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? You see, that's the type of faith that Jesus is talking about. You know, we don't need to worry. He's saying, where's your faith? You of little faith, where's your faith? We have a heavenly Father who cares for us no matter what our present circumstances. He cares for us. Then in verse 31, he says, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, and what will we drink, and what will we wear for clothing? Again, you know, stop worrying about all these things, is what he's saying. Stop worrying about what you'll eat, and what you'll drink, and how you will, and what you will wear. You know, God may not make you rich or extremely wealthy or all that, but he will take care of your necessities. God will take care of us. You know, and he just says, stop worrying about that. And second, you know, we're not to worry because of our faith. You know, first, because of God and who he is, our Heavenly Father, we need not worry in his character. But secondly, we don't need to worry because of our faith in him, our trust and confidence in our God. You know, Matthew 6, 32, it goes on. He says, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your Heavenly Father, here it is, knows that you need all these things. You see, worry belongs to those who do not have God as their Father. The Gentiles, and it's speaking to pagans or unbelievers there, they seek these things. It's the faithless to worry, is the point. People of this world who do not know or believe God are those who really are in a frenzy seeking all these things of the world. They're the ones who worry. And so, you know, for a believer, it's senseless to worry. If we don't trust God, it really, you know, when you think about that, it really strikes at his character. An unbeliever doesn't understand how God is involved in the lives of his people, but it strikes at God's character when we don't trust him for these things. You know, the phrase eagerly seek in the Greek, it's a Greek word that literally says to they seek it with all their might and all their, they crave it. The Gentiles, the pagans, the unbelievers crave these things. You know, unbelievers are consumed with basically this material gratification is the idea. They seek and crave these things. They don't have any other resource, you see. It's up to them. They go after it with all their might. You know, and just thinking about that, though, you know, Mark 8:36, it says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? For what would a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, you seek all this stuff and you gather it, but what does it profit a man to seek all that stuff and yet forfeit your soul? You know, we need to have our perspectives right. We need to have our priorities right. You know, as Christians, we ought to be very different. You know, how often are we in that position of just basically utter dependence on God? How often are we ever really, in our country, how often have we ever really been in that position where we're just utterly dependent upon God? You know, but when we are, we probably grow the most when we're in that position. When we're truly just dependent upon God for everything, that's when we grow. You see, we need to have that kind of faith that we're trusting in the Lord for these things. You know, it was interesting. Quite a few years ago, a Korean visitor came to our country. And he looked around and he noticed all these things. And he said, you know, what amazed him was how much we had without God. I thought that's revealing, isn't it? You know, but we're to seek God first and put our confidence in him. You know, then it goes on, you know, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. God knows we need these things. We need food, drink, and water, and clothing, and all these things. It's just a matter of trusting him for that provision. He knows we need this. God knows what we need. And so, you know, we can trust in his goodness and trust in that promise. And so, you know, the point is, do we face this world like an unbeliever, like a Gentile, like a pagan believer, unbeliever? You know, do we face this life that way, or do we face it like belonging to as a child of God? You know, that verse in that passage that Gary read, you know, in Ephesians 4:17-19, we're not to walk as the Gentiles walk. We're not to walk as the unbelievers walk in the futility of their mind. We're to walk as believers in trusting God. You know, the real issue is, does my Christian life, my Christian faith, does it really reflect or affect my view of life? Does my true faith in Christ, in God, does it affect my view of life? You know, do you live out your Christian faith that you proclaim? You see, again in verse 32 it says, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. To worry is to think that God doesn't care or doesn't know or can't provide. Well, God does know, and he does care, and he certainly can provide. You see, it's a matter of trusting him for these things. Now, the third point is it's unnecessary to worry because of who God is. That's the first point. Second, it's because of our faith. And now third, because of our confidence in our eternal future. You know, if we know where we're going to be in the future, that we're going to go and be with the Lord, that should affect the way we live now. You know, we're going to come back to verse 33, but in verse 34, excuse me, it says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, again, why do people worry? Because they're concerned about the future. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. God is the same today, yesterday, and in the future. You know, worry is it's a great problem. You know, it ruins our health. It ruins our peace. It can cripple our faith. You know, it harms our usefulness. It can harm our Christian testimony. When people see us worrying, you know, and fretting over stuff, people can look at that and say, well, do they really trust the Lord? You know, worry is a powerful sin. It's not a trivial sin. You know, it creates havoc, really, in our lives when we worry. You know, if Satan can get us to worry, to be anxious, burdened in stress, to be defeated, and to be fearful, what kind of a Christian testimony is that, you see? You know, how can we be an example to a people around us when we just demonstrate that we're not really trusting our Lord? You know, what does it say about our faith that we proclaim that we have? You know, and ultimately, how does it honor God? Does our worry really honor God? Yeah. You know, we can find ourselves worrying about stuff today that we, you know, and if we can't find something to worry about today, we start worrying about something that hasn't happened for tomorrow, don't we? You know, Jesus says, why are you worrying about tomorrow? Then he says, for tomorrow will take care of itself. You know, each day has enough trouble for itself. You know, when we focus on tomorrow's troubles, really, we ruin today. You know, don't we have enough problems today? Do we need any more, is the idea? You know, don't worry today about what's going to happen tomorrow. And as Christians, we should not live our lives in fear of this and fear of that, fear that something will break, fear of something will fail, or fear of our failings, fear of sickness, fear of disease, fear of men, fear of dying, and on it goes. You know, as a Christian, we don't need to worry about those things. We do what we can do and use some common sense and be wise about how we do things, but then we're not to worry. You know, we have enough trouble for today. You know, God gives us strength for each day. You know, He will give us grace, really, for today's trials and today's troubles. You know, we don't need to fear. And there is nothing that we're going to go through that God will not provide for us and give us the ability and the strength to go through that trial. God will provide. He knows what we need. And we need to enjoy the grace God gives us each day and really leave the future to Him. And, you know, we should not cripple the present by our worrying. And we just destroy the present when we do that, don't we? You know, God will be there in the future, and He'll be there when it all comes apart. God will be there. And when it does, we're to count it all joy. We were talking a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. You know, James 1, 2, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You see, trials bring us to perfection. Trials bring us to be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. And oftentimes when we have trials, you know, we say, oh, man, you know, but here he says, count it all joy. Let that trial that comes into your life have its perfecting effect in your life. Let it mature you the way God wants you to be mature, because it'll do that. But oftentimes we won't receive it that way. And it says the testing, and that means the proof of your faith. It gives proof of our faith when trials come. Are we trusting God? You see, that's what it's saying in that text. And so we're to trust the Lord. You know, we're not to worry. You know, if we belong to God, what can happen to us? You know, what can man do to us that God in His sovereignty doesn't allow? You see, what can man do to us? You know, what are we afraid of? If we belong to God and He's called us to Himself as His own, you know, He created the universe, He can take care of us, is the idea here. We don't need to worry. You know, worry, it refuses to know and trust and love God. You know, worry is a serious sin because it distrusts God and His promises to us. You see, it assaults the character and attributes of who God is because we're not trusting Him when we worry. You know, we're not to worry. Well, then back up to verse 33, it says, "But first seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You know, here's the positive verse. And here is, it's kind of key in all this. You know, here we see some very important teaching. This is the key to this whole passage. You know, all these things, what things? Food, drink, clothing, all the necessities of life. That's what it's referring to. God will sustain you. He will provide for you the needs for life. You know, this is the theme of this whole text. God will provide these things, what's it say though, if you first seek His kingdom and His righteousness. You see, that's key. Seek Him first in His kingdom. You know, what does that mean to seek His kingdom and His righteousness? You know, first it means to focus initially on the realm of your salvation. You know, Jesus is urging us to seek salvation, and when it comes, then He cares and provides for us. You know, Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us, how," here it is, "will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" You see, when we become Christians, we become God's child. You know, Colossians 3:1-2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on this earth." You see, we're to get our priorities right. Seek first God, and then, you know, seek Him first and pursue His righteousness. If we seek the spiritual things, God will provide us the physical things, is the idea. You know, this is the Christian mandate. That's where we should be living our lives. This is what we should be doing, is pursuing God and his kingdom and his righteousness. You know, Psalm 34, 8 and 10, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. You see, that's the promises we have from our God. We don't need to worry about those things. You know, Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. You know, that's a promise. You know, Matthew 6:19-21, before this, you know, that whole passage talking about wealth. You know, in verses 19, he said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You know, the point is, we're to store up ourselves treasures in heaven. You know, we're to first seek God, and, you know, to seek his purposes and to seek his kingdom first. You know, God will supply and sustain us. You know, our life is far more than just surviving. It's far more than just three meals a day and, you know, and all that. God's purpose in giving you life, spiritual life, is not just, you know, the physical life here on earth. You know, it is spiritual, it's immaterial, and it's eternal. God's purposes for us are eternal. And, you know, you were made for his glory, and you were made for his purposes, to honor him and to bring attention to him, and to proclaim the gospel and to live our lives out for Christ. That's our purpose. You know, if that's God's purpose for us, if we really truly understand that that's why we're here, he will sustain us for his purposes, is the idea. You know, whatever you eat or whatever you wear is not a reason. That's not the reason God put you here. The reason you're here is it's a spiritual reason. You're not going to heaven until God wants you to. And, you know, he will provide for you really until that time. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, what? Do all to the glory of God. That's why we're here. You can do all kinds of things. You could earn a fortune. You can live a healthy life. You can exercise and you can eat well and take vitamins and take supplements and all that stuff. But you're not going to live one day longer than what God has planned for you, is the idea. You know, as a believer, God's got you here for his purposes. And he's going to leave you here until he's through with that. And so start storing up your treasures in heaven rather than those things that are on earth. We need to get our priorities right. You know, worry is a failure to understand God's sovereignty in our lives. You know, you can't add 1 minute to your life that God has not preordained. You know, it's not wrong to be wise about how we live. You know, we're not to do things that are foolish that would shorten our lives. We're to be moderate on how we eat and all these things. You know, we're not to overindulge. That's part of it. We're to be wise about how we live our life. We need to be reasonable. We want to take care of ourselves so that we can serve God and what his purpose is for us. But we're not going to add one day to our lives that God has not preordained, is the idea. And so the point is this. You know, we're not really determiners of our own lifespan. You know, that is divinely set. And it's really God who determines that. You know, we can't extend our life beyond really the purposes of God, is the idea. You know, so why worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and what you're going to drink? You know, this is a failure to understand God's priority for your life. and, you know, and in his sovereign purposes. You know, Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord rather than man, knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance. It's the Lord Christ whom you serve. That's why we're here. You know, it's the Lord whom we serve. As believers, we're not just to live as if there were no God. You know, we're not to be like those who have little faith. We are not to live as if our God was powerless. You know, we say we trust God, but we need to evaluate that in our life. Do we? You know, and I was talking to Suzanne this morning when I was thinking about all this and thinking about all these things. I said, do I really believe what I'm teaching? Do I really stop worrying? But that's what he's challenging us here. What do we really believe? And what's, you know, in Psalm 139:23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious, there it is, thoughts. David asked God to show him his anxious and worrying thoughts where he was not trusting God. He said, test me, God. See where I'm being anxious here. You know, Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You see, we have that promise from God as believers. He's going to strengthen us and uphold us and care for us, so we don't need to worry. That's the whole point here. We can trust God really for what he says. You know, in this day and age, like I said, where our government seems to be going amok and there's viruses and all this stuff is coming our way, it's easy to get despondent. It's easy to start doubting and wondering what in the world is all this going about. But God calls us to a higher standard. We're not to worry about those things. Seek his kingdom and his purposes first, and he will take care of us. He will watch over us and care for us, nurture us. But that's our point, is to be about his business. Seek his purposes for your life first, and he's going to watch over us. And that's important to understand. Get our priorities right. Seek the Lord first, and all these things will be added unto you. Let's close in prayer.